You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
Good morning, football fans. Coming to you live from the cave. This is Teddy the Bear Tay. Alongside of me is Dallas Big D Duclo. Good morning, Big D. How we doing?
Hey, we're doing this. It's another bright, shining day here in Ohio.
It is. Another glorious day of off-season NFL football. You know, it's kind of a down time of year.
Unfortunate. I was kind of hoping that for once we could say that the NFL was about as unpredictable as the weather around here, but we can't say that today.
No.
We can't say it.
But what we can say is we do have a little bit of the NFL football fix for the fans. Big D, we got. It's going to be a short show today, but it's going to be a good show, I think. I'm really excited today. We're going to be talking some NFL buzz. We're going to be talking some NFL draft grades for the LA Chargers, not the San Diego Chargers, which I keep trying to say, but the LA Chargers. And then,
give up, Ted. Okay, they're gone. They're not there anymore.
They're not
San Diego. It's not that team anymore. Right?
I know.
They had their chance.
It's hard though. I mean, you get used to saying it a certain way for so long.
Like
but
the Rams, kind of
right.
Weird not seeing them in St. Louis anymore.
Right. Anyways, and then we've got your team, the Green Bay Packers. We're going to be talking about today, and then. The other thing we're going to be talking about, I don't know if it's really a huge debate, but will Terrell Owens return to the NFL? That's what we're going to be, quote-unquote, debating about, Big D, as you're shaking your head. You all right over there?
Oh, God.
All right. He's been out of the league for how long now, and he's still
too long.
Making headlines.
Get out of here. All right. Well, you know, we've got somebody on here. If you want to bring him in, it's up to you.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes. Good morning. And also, guys, we now have brought in awesome Austin Thomas. Good morning, awesome Austin. How are we doing today, buddy?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Like Big D and I both said, it's a nice sunshiny day in the great state of Ohio.
Yeah.
And it's off season, so it's a little bit of a downtime of the year right now. Wait, everything. But we're here, man. We're here to give everybody their NFL buzz fix.
Absolutely. I'm glad that the rain held off for today.
Yeah, we've had a lot of rain here lately. Now, awesome Austin, you know, since we don't have a whole lot of NFL buzz going on today, I've got a nice debate for all three of us, and I don't know if you caught that at the tail end there, but it's going to be about will Terrell Owens return to the NFL. I mean, I know he's made a couple quotes, you know, about possibly returning and, you know, having Aaron Rodgers be his quarterback.
Get out.
Are you willing to debate that with us?
We can talk about Mr. 440.
Mr. 440. I love it. All right, guys. So let's go ahead and get the NFL buzz going. Go ahead, Big D.
You know what time it is.
I don't know if there's any other I think it makes it weak. Anyways, all right, guys, so let's kick off the NFL buzz. And again, not a whole lot this week, but it is all very crucial. First off, let's start off with the Cleveland Browns have signed offensive tackle Greg Robinson, you know, and everybody's already calling him an NFL bust, which, I mean, you know, when you're drafted that high, he pretty much is.
Yeah.
And awesome, Austin, any thoughts about Greg Robinson being picked up by the Browns?
Well, I mean, yeah, he's been a bust so far in his career, but he's still a solid playmaker. They're going to need another tackle to fill in while Stephenson is doing his one-game suspension, whatever, how many games it was. So, you know, I like the move, actually. I think it's a nice, solid depth pick, potentially a sleeper starter for them. So I don't mind it. I really like it.
Well, and of course, with Joe Thomas retiring, I'm not saying Greg Robinson's going to fill those shoes, but they got to have somebody come in and help protect
right.
Whoever's going to be quarterback.
They have a lot of solid tackles on their roster, and if they have to do a combination of all of them, then so be it. But like you said, they have to replace Joe Thomas. They have to replace Lance Stephenson during his – whatever his name is. It's something Stephenson, but they have to replace him during his suspension, so more tackles the better.
Absolutely. Now, I think it's something we should bring up here, too, as far as the Cleveland Browns go. Let's go ahead and talk about it, the quarterback situation with the Cleveland Browns. It's either Tyrod Taylor or Baker Mayfield. Big D, I know you're a big Baker Mayfield fan.
Mm-hmm.
How do you who do you think is going to start week one? Obviously, preseason has to come about, but who do you think is going
to
start week
one? I think the best course is starting Tyrod Taylor week one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Baker Mayfield is talented. There's no doubt about it. We've seen a lot of rookie quarterbacks come in, start week one, and get lost in the shuffle. They have that one bad game, and I think it's critical that your first game that you play in the NFL, look at the success that Patrick Mahomes had in his first NFL game.
Sure.
He didn't play week one.
Right.
They waited till, you know, down the line in the season in a game that we've already got the playoffs, take
right.
off of your quarterback. That's the situation you want to bring any young rookie quarterback into, is a situation where there's no pressure. You
build his
go out, build his confidence. There's no pressure. This game, it doesn't matter if we win it. We've got, you know, we're at the point in the season where it's not that big a deal anymore.
We're locked in no matter
what. So I think the wisest course of action for the Browns is playing Tyrod Taylor, because with Baker Mayfield, you don't really know what you have yet. You don't know how well his game is going to translate to the NFL. Just because Baker Mayfield was a stud in college, and he was a stud, doesn't mean that play style is going to translate over to the NFL, especially in his division.
Sure,
you've got to give him time.
I think that's sensible. And let's be honest here, guys. And Austin, I'm going to bring you in on this here. But Tyrod Taylor, I've said this to Tyrod Taylor since he came out of BU, and he is a good quality quarterback. And I just think the Bills were too conservative with him. And I think with Hugh Jackson and now the new offensive coordinator, Todd Haley, I think they're going to let him sling a little bit. And I think he's going to shine a little bit more. With the receivers he has. Austin, is that what you're getting, is Tyrod Taylor will be the starter week one?
Yeah, and I don't know. I like how you mentioned Todd Haley, because he actually said later or this previous week saying Baker Mayfield has a long way to go, meaning it's Tyrod Taylor's team. He's going to be the starter.
Yeah.
And I know other coaches outside of Todd Haley have said, you know, ideally, we want Tyrod Taylor to start this whole entire season. Get Baker that 1 year experience under his belt. Get him a little playing time if a game's out of hand and whatnot. But from what I'm hearing and what I just am seeing, they don't want to start Baker this year. They want him to have a red shirt type of season. So yeah, I absolutely agree. I think Baker is going to be on the bench this season while Tyrod does what he does.
Okay.
And I think that's a good thing for Baker Mayfield. The biggest winner in that is Baker Mayfield, because the longer you can sit and learn and watch and see the pace of the game, and the longer you can just get reps in and get better, that gives you an opportunity to come in later on and be that difference maker.
And possibly, of course, especially learning the offense and the system that he's under.
And he's got Hugh Jackson, and Todd Haley.
Yeah.
There. So, I mean, it's not like he's going to be just, you know, doing reps with, you know, no help. I mean, he's got great people around
him. I'll be honest, Big D. I think the only problem I foresee in this for Baker Mayfield is that he wears the number 6, that just like Jay Cutler. He wore number 6.
I know. That's the only downside. I don't know what he was thinking.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways.
Or that Tyrod just balls out and the Browns want to keep him a little longer.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Tyrod, with the receiving core he has, he should have no problem doing well.
Well, I foresee that if Tyrod Taylor can play up to the capability that we have seen him play before, this receiving core, there's no excuse that they can't be competitive this season.
Sure, I agree with that. I mean,
I will be shocked if they don't play a lot closer games this season just because their offense is a lot better.
Well, when you only win one game out of 2 years, I mean, the expectations, they're not set real high.
Yeah, you know. If they win, I mean, let's face it. If they win 6 games this year, Tyrod Taylor's a hero in Cleveland, okay?
Now, next up, guys, former Minnesota Vikings head coach Dennis Green will be inducted into the Vikings Ring of Honor on September 23rd during halftime between the Vikings and the Buffalo Bills. Tremendous honor, obviously, you know, being inducted into the Ring of Honor for any team. But, you know, well-deserved for Dennis Green, a heck of a coach. for the Minnesota Vikings back in the day. Austin, what have you been hearing on Twitter and social media? How's love been for Mr. Green?
We thought we knew who he was, and that was a Ring of Fame coach for the Vikings.
Right. That's all I was going to say. Big D, your thoughts?
You know, it's always great, I think, when you get the opportunity to honor somebody who's contributed so much to your franchise.
Right.
You think about the Minnesota Vikings, you know, we say back, you know, people talk about back in the day, we had the competitive teams. But, you know, back when Dennis Green was coaching, I mean, the Vikings had started to establish themselves as purple people eaters. I mean, they were doing things that people hadn't seen before. Their team was aggressive. They were establishing themselves as a franchise. And they became part of a very storied rivalry with their division rivals, the Green Bay Packers, and their division rivals, the Detroit Lions. I mean, they had some absolute slugfests, and Dennis Green got to be part of that part of their history. And that's exciting for not only Minnesota fans, because they're going to get that opportunity to see, the legendary coach. It's nice. It's a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. And to me, I think, you know, when you do stuff like that for any team, when you're inducted to Ring of Honor or even the, you know, Pro Football Hall of Fame, whatever, it boosts your team's morale. You know what I mean? Especially during, like, this is going to be during the game versus the Bills. It makes you want, as a Vikings fan and as a Vikings player, it makes you want to play that much harder and win.
The Gipper,
yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, obviously that's a game reference, but
yeah.
Let's be honest. I don't think the Vikings need much help in that game this season.
hey.
That was pretty harsh, right there.
Pretty harsh there. You never know. The Bills could surprise you. They could, you know, they could do something. I don't know.
They might be able to score 10 points.
They might score a touchdown.
Yeah, you never know.
Hey, Big D.
Yeah.
When the biggest news line coming out of Bills camp is that Nathan Peterman might be a sleeper starter for this team. I have no confidence in this team this season. No, thank you. I want nothing. I want no part of the Bills this season. But, you know, they drafted Josh Allen. He's supposed to be the starter. They bring in free agent AJ McCarron. He's supposed to be the starter. But the biggest news you can offer me during training camp is Nathan Peterman is a dark horse to win the starting job. Are you kidding me? The guy that threw that many interceptions in a half. No, thank you. Goodbye. You guys are bottom of your division. Have fun with another 20 years of no playoff.
Honestly, I would like to see what AJ McCarron can do in Buffalo now that we're on that. I would be very curious to see how well he could play there. AJ McCarron never really got a shake over there in Cincinnati. Right. Never really got that opportunity to start. And coming out of college, I mean, he was quietly one of the better and more efficient quarterbacks in his draft class. So I would be curious to see if the Bills are smart enough to realize that maybe A.J. McCarron, just as far as, you know, he's not flashy, but just as far as being an efficient quarterback,
right,
giving him the opportunity to have this starting nod. Because, yes, Josh Allen is talented and he put up great numbers at the combine, but – you know, I think, honestly, you already know what you have with Peterman.
Right.
And it ain't good. So
I think for me, I it depends on each situation with rookie quarterbacks. You know, obviously, like, for instance, when Andrew Luck was drafted by the Colts, you knew he was going to start. So there's no question there. You know, we talked about Baker Mayfield just a little bit ago. You know, Tyrod Taylor is more than likely going to be the starter for Cleveland, which makes sense to me. I think in this situation, though, for me, I think I'm starting Josh Allen just because – yes, we know we have a Nathan Peterman. We have a sample of what we have in A.J. McCarron. Let's see what we got in Josh Allen. And if it's not good, guess what? It wasn't like we were going to go to the Super Bowl. You know, newsflash, the Buffalo Bills aren't going to go to the Super Bowl. We all know that. They're not going to win their division.
No.
I mean, so why not
give
Josh Allen a shot? So I think that's where I'm at on Josh Allen. But I will say, there is other quarterback news in the NFL, and it's with a starter. And that is down in Tampa, the Buccaneers quarterback.
Yes.
What?
Yes, yes, Austin, it's happening.
The Buccaneers quarterback, Jameis Winston, is expected to be suspended for 3 games for violating the league's personal conduct policy.
Go! That's what happens when you steal crab legs, Ted. You got to pay for the crab leg. Listen, this is one of those situations where it's not just, you know, embarrassing for the franchise and embarrassing for the player.
This is the franchise quarterback. I mean, how do you, as the franchise quarterback, get suspended? How does that even happen?
Austin, what's going on here? What have you been hearing? What's the rumblings going on?
They take a suspension for Jameis. Come on,
well,
take a suspension.
This situation's been going on for quite some time. So I don't know if you guys remember last season they talked about this. You know, it was in an Uber car. It was Jameis Winston, Ronald Darby, and another player. I can't remember the name of it. But, you know, now stories are coming out, and they're completely different. Like, Ronald Darby was saying that all three of them got out of the car at the same time. Now reports are that Darby and the other player got out of the car, and Jameis went out with the Uber driver by themselves. It's just – this thing could get uglier than it really could be right now. I know right now it could be a 3-game suspension. It could actually go up from any other reports that we hear. But the reason why he is getting suspended is because Jameis Winston did not report it to the NFL during the appropriate time period that he should have. That is why he is getting suspended right now. So he could get added time for if there is actual a sexual assault case out against him. There could be more time if more stuff happened rather than what people are leading on. So, you know, the Buccaneers, they weren't looking too promising going into the season. Their chances aren't looking too good now.
Yeah, and I know the head coach, the coaches down in Tampa have said, we're confident in our backup quarterbacks and blah, blah, blah. Let's be honest here. You weren't going to win your division with Jameis Winston under the helm of quarterback, let alone with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Right.
Ryan Fitzmagic might have another year.
Do what, Austin? I'm sorry.
I said Ryan Fitzmagic might have another year. It seems like Ryan Fitzpatrick does this. He has a magical year. He goes away for a year or two. He goes back to another team and he balls out and gets them to the playoffs. Who knows?
He's a Pennywise the clown of NFL.
Yeah.
Just like he never he's gone for X amount of time, comes back and he's like, now it's feeding time. He's gonna feed.
I mean, you know, and Fitzpatrick may have a decent year. I mean, he's got Mike Evans, he's got Deshaun Jackson, he's got Humphries.
Well, if they don't get suspended, that's the thing.
Right. But I mean, you know, as far as the Buccaneers, they're the bottom feeders of the NFC South yet again. I mean, in my book already. I mean, I'm writing them off.
The Panthers, the Saints. I mean, it's not looking good.
Yeah, they have a tough road.
Yeah.
They're up a creek without a paddle.
Yeah, they are. The San Francisco.
The thing that gets me. Is Jameis Winston is in an option year, and whatnot, and he needs to perform. You know, he was supposed to have this great season last year. He didn't have it. You know.
Right.
The year before that, they just missed the playoffs. So, you know, Jameis Winston is running out of time. If he keeps messing up like he is, I can see him out of Tampa in the next couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, if he doesn't start performing and start, you know, being the number one draft pick that the Buccaneers drafted him to be, you're right. I agree with that. And he could be one of those draft busts everybody talks about. You know, this guy was supposed to be something special. And here we are talking about him stealing crab legs,
mm-hmm.
Right? So let's keep this going, guys. The San Francisco 49ers have extended offensive lineman Laken Tomlinson to a 3-year deal worth $18 million, $10 million guaranteed. Big D, your thoughts?
You got to pay the big boys big bucks. You just paid $110 million to Jimmy Garoppolo. You better be able to protect him.
Right.
That's a hell of an investment to throw away.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you got to pay the big boys the big bucks. And
surprised they had $18 million laying around after that contract. They signed Jimmy Garoppolo, too.
Nope.
Surprised they didn't just give him an IOU.
Right.
See you next season.
Take a loan out.
Take a loan here.
Anyways, Big D, you know, we try to mention as much as we can on the show, but, you know, obviously offensive linemen, defensive linemen, the battle between them, the battle in the trenches, it's brutal. It is a battle.
Yeah, a lot of them don't stay in the NFL very long.
Well,
brutal it is.
Well, that and obviously, you know, when you're watching the football game, people aren't watching the offensive linemen a whole lot.
But
that's us just dissecting the play and everything, how they perform and everything. I just mean, like, as a casual fan, they're watching the ball get hyped and the quarterback throwing or the running back running through the tackle.
Yeah.
You know, that's about all, as much as we see as fans noticing the offensive linemen. And it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. the linemen know that that's how it is in the NFL. Next up, NFL referee Gene Steratore has announced he's retiring after 15 years of officiating. Big D, long time officiating. Gene has done a tremendous job.
Well, I don't know. He's an NFL official. I don't know what he's done. I mean, you know, NFL refs are notorious for making
botched calls.
Although, to be fair, they're often put in situations where they have to make judgment calls. That would be very difficult for anybody to make. But, you know, 15 years, that's quite a milestone to be doing this. You know, being a ref in the NFL. Imagine all the hate mail he's gotten over 15 years.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And you know, something else we need to bring up, too, is the Patriots are losing a lot of key players. I mean, losing an NFL referee, I mean, that's even worse.
They're losing a lot of key players. Look, I mean, with Gene out, who knows? I mean, they're going to have to open their wallet to whoever the next guy is. Next man up. Come on.
Awesome, your thoughts on Gene firing.
You know, I like how you go from offensive linemen not getting love to the referees, because the referees, you know, like Big D say, they get a lot of hate mail. They don't get enough love and appreciation. I mean, this game is really tough to officiate. It changes year after year. They have to remember all the rules, all the technical difficulties and stuff like that. So, you know, in Gene's territory, he was really one of the good ones. And this is the third ref retiring this offseason. So I just hope it doesn't affect the NFL moving forward, because now they're losing three of their better officiates. So good luck to the new upcoming era, because you guys have a large shoes to fill.
Yeah,
very
for
true.
For sure.
Now, while I got you guys on the line.
Oh, God, no. Why would you do that?
We're gonna talk about Friday's pickup play.
Why would you do that?
I think this is something we need to bring up, because this last Friday's pickup play, it wasn't no Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. It wasn't no good player versus good player. It was battle of the bads, guys. It was battle of the bad boys. Who would you guys rather have as your starting quarterback?
Oh, no.
Rex Grossman.
Oh, God.
Or Mark Sanchez? I think this is a good question.
Oh.
It needs answer. Big D, you're up.
Oh, that hurt on the inside.
Oh, man.
Who is it, Big D?
I got to go with Rex Grossman. I, as much as I don't want to, Sanchez, I mean, he's missed a butt fumble. I mean,
you can't let it go.
I can't let it go. There was a time when Sanchez was a thing. So, you know, at least Rex, you know, he tried really hard, I guess. I don't know. He made it to the playoffs, I think, once.
Yeah.
One time. Yeah. And that was it.
Awesome, Austin. Who's your quarterback, man? Rex Grossman or Mark Sanchez?
That's a bad day.
I'm going to go with the quarterback I think has the best overall body of work. And, you know, Mark Sanchez, he was only good those first couple of years when he went to the AFC Championship, and that was mostly because of the defense that wasn't really on the Sanchez. So I'm going to go with Rexy as well.
Rexy.
I know a lot of people don't remember Rex, but, you know, he didn't lead the Bears, but he was the quarterback of the Bears when they went to the Super Bowl. He had a couple of great seasons with the Redskins. I know he was a popular fantasy option for a couple of people there for a couple of years. So, you know, I feel like Sexy Rexy, you know, he's been forgotten, but, you know, he's still a quarterback that shouldn't be forgotten.
I think we're all three going to agree here. I think I have to go with Rex Grossman as
Sexy
well.
Sexy Rexy.
Although I will say, you know, Mark Sanchez is interesting because, like Austin says, it's because of him going to back-to-back AFC Championship game and that people might consider, you know, Mark Sanchez maybe a good option or a better option than Rex Grossman, I should say. But like Austin said, the New York Jets defense led them to the AFC Championship back-to-back years.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And in addition to that, I would say that, you know, you look at Rex Grossman's body of work, look at the teams that he had to play up against when he played.
Right.
I mean, it's a little bit different.
Well, and let's be honest here. When Rex Grossman and the Bears went to the Super Bowl and played against Peyton Manning and the Colts, that was the Bears' defense, too. I mean, the Bears' offense wasn't lighting the world on fire either.
No.
So, I mean, you got to bring that into consideration. But then, like Austin said, when he went to the Redskins, he still was decent. It wasn't like, you know, butt fumble.
It was not awful.
None of that nonsense. So, anyways, all right. I'm just curious who you guys was picking here. That's a good little question. I think I might do the Battle of the Bads a little more here. We may do a controversial player duo next Friday. I don't know. I got something conjuring up here in my head. Anyways, that is it for the NFL Buzz. I think it's now time to do our draft grades, especially we've got, let's see, Awesome still on the line. It's only 9:25. We're doing pretty good here, guys. So let's go ahead and get this started. Obviously, it's the San Diego Chargers. Here I go again. The L.A. Chargers.
I'm not going to tell you again.
L.A. It's the Chargers. We're going to start with first. And their first pick was Derwin James, a man that we had the privilege of interviewing a couple months ago.
Zach's as far as he did to them.
And there was experts that were saying that he may make a pretty good slide. Fell down to the Chargers. The Chargers snagged him up. I'll be honest here. I love this pick for the Chargers.
Yeah.
They haven't had a really good safety since Eric Weddle left and went to the Baltimore Ravens. I'm excited for this pick. He's almost an instant starter. You know, you obviously got to see how he does in camp and everything. I mean, he's definitely a playmaker. Was a big playmaker for the Seminoles. I'm excited to see this kid play on Sundays. Awesome, Austin. Your thoughts on Derwin James being drafted by the Chargers?
Yeah, I love it too, but I mean, I think you're underappreciating what Trey Boston did for the Chargers. I mean, he led the NFL in interceptions at one point. And, which is amazing that Trey is still a free agent, but we'll get into that some other time. Derwin James, he has a higher ceiling than Trey. He could be in great. You know, the Chargers' biggest need was safety. They got arguably the best one in the draft. You know, Derwin's going to make a lot of good plays over there on the West Coast. And like you said, Ted, I'm excited to see what this kid can do.
He's drawing some Cam Chancellor, comparisons right out of the draft. Derwin's no doubt about it a day one starter. He has the ability to come in and explode through ball carriers. He's got tremendous range when it comes to closing in versus covering the pass and the run. He's definitely, without a doubt, perhaps the number one safety in this. So the fact that the Chargers filled their top need with the number one player at that position is exactly what you want to do when you're drafted.
Right.
That's legitimately what you want to do. So
you could have planned it better.
Could have planned it better. The Chargers nailed it on the head with this one. I think Derwin James, there's a lot to be excited about.
Sure.
As far as the Chargers, I mean, Gus Bradley should just be ecstatic that he's got such an aggressive tackler on his team, on his defense.
Right. Absolutely. Now, next up, Big D, you're a defensive guy. You like watching defense. You're excited for this edge rusher here. Go ahead and talk about him.
The next pick that they had was Uchenna Nwosu. He's got a good initial burst, but he's a great closing. He's got great closing speed as a pass rusher. He's an outside linebacker. He's probably going to play in between downs, but he started more than 11 games. I should say the Chargers didn't have a single linebacker that started more than 11 games in 2016. And this guy right here can be a great rotational player.
Sure.
But also potentially down the line can be the starter that they need. He's not injury prone, which is really nice.
Yep.
He's got a great physique as far as muscle mass. He's got great length. He's 6'2". So, I mean, he's got the ability, and that first step, it's so important when you're a linebacker, and he's got a great first step coming off the line to get at quarterbacks and plug the gaps in the running game.
Sure. I think one of the other things that we're not talking about here is he's from USC. He's staying home.
Yeah, he's staying at home.
Yeah.
So you got to be happy about that if you're Uchenna. And honestly, you can never have enough edge rushers on your defense. You just can't. I mean, you look at the importance of the quarterback position in the NFL. It's a quarterback-driven league.
Right.
Look at the contracts some of these quarterbacks are signing. Listen, it's high time that a lot of these NFL teams, that the pattern and the recipe for success is going to be stopping quarterbacks.
Sure. Austin, your thoughts on Uchenna being drafted by the Chargers?
Yeah, everything that Big D said, I agree with. You know, you look at the Chargers roster, they don't really have a defined linebacker on their roster. You know, they pretty much rely on their defensive line and Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. So getting another outside linebacker that can rush the quarterback at the next level, it's going to do nothing but benefit the Chargers. And if they want to get to the next level in the playoffs, they're going to need that pass rush to go up against the Ben Roethlisbergers and the Tom Bradys of the world. So I love this pick. I truly do.
Now, Austin, you mentioned Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa being, you know, part of that Chargers defensive line and then being studs, and they have to rely on that. And obviously the Chargers have a stellar secondary. If they can bring Trey Boston back, it'd be that even that much better. But their next pick in the third round, Justin Jones, defensive tackle out of North Carolina State. Here we are seeing the Chargers, you know, they've got their two defensive ends in Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. Now they're getting their guy to plug up the middle. What are your thoughts on Justin Jones?
Absolutely. You know, this guy's a big monster. And another suspension no one's really talking about, Corey Lugett. You know, he's out a couple of weeks, and they need someone to fill in his position. And he might not even have his job by the time he gets back because this rookie might come out and just ball out. This guy, you know, you got to look at their division. You know, the Broncos, you know they're going to try to be more of a running team. That's what they normally do. You know, the Chiefs, they got Patrick Mahomes, Kareem Hunt. They're probably going to try and run the ball a little more this season so they don't have to put all the pressure on Mahomes. And then you got Derek Carr and the Raiders. You know, they got John Gruden back. He's an old school type of guy. So they're going to probably run the ball, try and do the play action. So, you know, the Chargers are probably thinking, stop the run. Our secondary is good, and we can take advantage of that. So I have no issue with them getting some big boys up front.
Big D.
I like this pick. You know, a lot of people are being critical of Justin Jones. They're saying that he doesn't have enough he's not an effective finisher as a pass rusher. But Justin Jones didn't cut his teeth as a pass rusher at NC State. He cut his teeth as a run stopper.
For sure.
At NC State. That's exactly what he was. And, you know, he's 6'3", 309 pounds. Enough said, this guy he's big.
He's a hog molly.
He is. And you look at this guy, he absolutely rope braided a lot of offensive linemen a season ago. He drew a lot of double teams, and that really helps your edge rushers get to the quarterback when you're drawing double teams, particularly in the middle.
What you're telling me is Justin Jones probably helped Bradley Chubb get some stats there.
Yeah. Justin Jones is so big, so physical. He was actually walking some offensive linemen backwards on the offensive line.
There we go.
Something a lot of people weren't talking about. Now, important to note that the Chargers surrendered a league worst 4.9 yards per carry in 2017. So not only is Corey Liggett serving a four-game suspension, but the next guy up on the list is Brandon Mabonte, who's 33 and is probably in his last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very seasoned veteran. We haven't heard too much from Brandon in a while. But I'm glad. So pretty much here, what the fans and the listeners should be getting from both of you is you're on the same page, and that's he's a run stopper. He's not a pass rusher.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, he's a DT. Not to mention, like Austin, they've got to worry about Kareem Hunt. They've got to worry about the Broncos wanting to return to the passing game. And then obviously the Raiders and John Gruden. Using Marshawn Lynch and possibly even Doug Martin as the backup behind Marshawn Lynch. To me, this pick was one of their better picks just because of you get bang for your buck here, right?
Yeah.
So I agree with you guys.
And the other thing is that a lot of people don't talk about this, but, you know, he was a rotational player a lot of times for NC State, coming in for only a couple of downs. But Justin Jones actually is pretty well conditioned for a guy that's 309 pounds. He can play more than two downs a drive if necessary.
Sure. Now, we're gonna jump a little bit here down to a player that you and I have talked about on the show a couple times, all the way down to round six, pick 17 in round six. They drafted a wide receiver out of Texas Tech, Dylan Cantrell.
Yeah.
The reason why this intrigues me so much is because, honestly, they don't really need a wide receiver. They've got Keenan Allen. They've got Williams. They've got Mike Williams. Don't forget about the rookie they drafted last year. And they've got Travis Benjamin. So why would they get Dylan Cantrell?
Dylan Cantrell is like a Swiss Army knife. He played fullback, running back, and wide receiver at Texas Tech during his tenure there. He actually played in the Wildcat, receiving direct snaps as a fullback for running into the end zone. He's got a big frame. He's 6'3", 226 pounds. Dylan Cantrell is not known for having blinding speed. He's known for being a bruising, level-headed runner. So when you look at him, this is he's a possession receiver first and foremost.
Right.
He was the guy that the Texas Tech was looking to on third downs to get those extra yards. But more importantly, he's very good at breaking tackles because he's so strong.
Right.
He's a very strong wide receiver for his size.
Now, Austin, we I believe you and I had talked about this gentleman a few weeks ago, and when Hunter Henry got hurt, and there was talks about possibly using Dylan Cantrell at the tight end position. Is that still holding true?
Yeah, you know, I was about to mention, you know, this kid, like Big D, he's very versatile. He's a bigger guy. He reminds me of a bigger, more physical Cooper Kupp. So I see him more as a slot receiver if he does play receiver, because he's just going to be a humongous mismatch in the middle of the field. And if you do put him at tight end, he can play the position. He can block well, you know, so that'll work out perfectly for them. It all depends on how the Chargers feel about Virgil Green, or if they want to bring back Antonio Gates. But I think he can excel in that slot role or the tight end position. So, yeah, I agree with you.
I love it, love it. And obviously, you know, if the Chargers bring back Antonio Gates, to me, what better way if they decide that, you know, Cantrell is going to be a tight end, what better way for him to learn from a season? But I mean, Antonio Gates is one of the best tight ends we've ever seen play this game.
Yeah, so.
And I think this would be a good opportunity for Dylan Cantrell to learn from him, and then come next year, Gates is gone, you have Hunter Henry healthy, and then you have Cantrell on the opposite end to also try to catch balls at the tight end position. And obviously blocking, like you said, he was a good fullback blocker down at Tech. Yeah. I think this is a good match for the Chargers. I really do.
Well, and you get to fill multiple spots on your you, when you've got a player that can play so many positions, you get to fill multiple needs on your team, and that's always good.
Well, and something we don't get to talk about too much. And we only talk about it really when we get these interviews with players that aren't big, well-known superstars.
Yeah.
They try to make themselves as versatile and a Swiss Army knife as possible, because the more valuable you are to the team, the longer they're going to keep you. And you got to get that chatter as long as you can.
You got to get because you're not going to be there forever. And like I said, this is a very sneaky pick, I think, for the Chargers, because, again, this is a player that can play multiple positions on the field and has already done that. So it's just a matter of getting worked into the system. And if you want to play him at tight end, who better to coach him up than Antonio Gates?
Love it. Big D, we're now going to transition to the Green Bay Packers. And, guys, if you want to check out the full list of the L.A. Chargers draft class, do so. Please do so. They have a good draft class. We're just highlighting a few players here, and we're going to do the same thing with Big D's Green Bay Packers. Big D, when the Packers drafted Jair Alexander, you were stoked. Tell us why.
I was pretty excited. You know, even though Jair Alexander is really short, one of the things that people aren't talking about is coming out of the draft, Jair Alexander was drawing comparisons to Deion Sanders, not for the fact that he was because of the position he played, but because of his speed. He's one of the fastest players coming out of this draft. Mm-hmm. And he played not only defense, but special teams. And the Green Bay Packers, one of the things that they were terrible at a season ago was kick returns. They could not return a ball down the field. I mean, their field position for almost every drive was absolutely terrible unless they could come up with a turnover. In addition to that, they needed a corner, and they've got one. I think Jair Alexander is one of the better cornerbacks in this draft. And frankly, the secondary for the Green Bay Packers, let's face it, has not been good over the last couple of seasons. They've had a couple of busts as far as the draft goes in previous seasons where they didn't get a good player in the draft. They've had injuries. They've had guys just getting old. I mean, you look at Trayman Williams.
Right.
He's back, but he's 35.
Right.
You know, they lost Demaryius Randall to a trade to the Browns.
Right.
So you have to have somebody. Especially now, look at their division. You've got Matthew Stafford throwing up against you. You've got Kirk Cousins now throwing up against you. It's not going to get any easier,
right? And I'm gonna kind of transition here. We're gonna keep it about Jared. I'm gonna kind of combine these two picks, the first two picks together, and then also I'm gonna bring you in and let you comment. So I agree with you. The Green Bay Packers secondary was just it was the weak part of the defense. You know, HaHa Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett were the highlights last year, and they were both the safety position. Now, Morgan Burnett, the Pittsburgh Steeler, like you said, Demaryius Randall's gone. He was a starting corner for the Packers. They have Trayman Williams. He's getting old. So getting Jair Alexander and getting a speed guy, and even though he's short, I think he's going to be perfect in the slot.
Yeah, I think he's going to be great in the slot.
Yeah. Now, next up, we're going to, like I said, Austin, I'm going to bring you in here in a minute. But then you guys go and get Josh Jackson, who a lot of people, including myself, thought you guys were going to pick him up in the first round.
Yeah.
But you get him in the second.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you want to talk about bang for your buck. This guy's supposed to be a first-round talent. you guys get him in the second round. He's a he's taller than Jair Alexander. He's not as fast, though. So he's going to be that guy that's going to be opposite of Tremont Williams. Then you'll have Jair Alexander in the slot. Your guys' secondary is turning around here to me. I mean, these first two picks, I'm thinking you guys knocked it out of the park. Austin, Austin, your thoughts, and I know I'm kind of making you combine Jair and Josh Jackson together, but your thoughts on these picks.
No, that's perfect because when I was doing my draft prep, you know, the three guys that I saw most connected to the Packers were, and this is in order too, this is what I think their board would look like when they were going to make their selection was Micah Fitzpatrick. Well, he was taken at pick 11 to the Dolphins, Jair Alexander, and then Josh Jackson. Well, you know, Micah obviously wasn't there. They felt like they could get Jair a little later in the draft. They did draft back a little bit. So they got their pick there.
Right.
With Jair, right. Which, you know, in college, I don't know if you guys knew this, him and his teammates were called the Cash Brothers because if you threw their way, they were going to make you pay. And they did that.
Yeah.
They were ball hawks, and they were good. Adding that to the Packers secondary is just going to be great for them because you got to play Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, and maybe a rejuvenated Mitchell Trubisky this season. So you definitely want
right.
to get your pass defense a little better. And then, like I said, their third guy was Josh Jackson, which they got in the second round. How exciting is that? This guy, in my opinion, is like a Richard Sherman type. He's not the fastest guy in the field, but he's going to beat you with the press. This guy is not
right.
going to let you get behind him. He's going to physical you up and down that field. You're not going to make an easy catch. So I love their first two picks. They went from a horrible secondary to a very good secondary, in my opinion, with just those two selections.
Now, something else I want to bring up, and you guys have both have tapped on it a little bit.
Yeah.
You talked about Matt Stafford, Mitchell Trubisky, and Kirk Cousins, and so is Austin Austin. But, you know, just even besides the quarterbacks, let's look at this division with Minnesota. You got to worry about Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen right out of the gate.
Right then.
The Detroit Lions, you got to worry about Marvin Jones and Golden Tate right out of the gate. With Chicago, you got to worry about Allen Robinson. You've got to worry about Dontrell Inman, who did a serviceable job. You got to worry about Taylor Gabriel, who they just picked up. He's the fast guy. And when they drafted Jair Alexander, to me in my head, I think that's where I was like where the Packers were thinking too, because even if they have him in the slot, he's a fast guy. He's a speed guy. Taylor Gabriel was lights out fast. He's a fast
in the
guy.
Slot.
Yeah. So what better kryptonite, right?
Well, yeah, and honestly, you look at the NFL, a lot of times, a lot of teams play their fastest receivers in the slot.
Right.
Because, yeah, we've got the big receiver going down the sideline. Why do we have the big receiver going down the sideline? Well, because he's got the length, the athleticism
right.
to make a catch down the sideline if it's necessary. But
sure.
we've got this smaller, faster guy who needs that extra space.
Right.
So that he can use his speed to his advantage. That's why they play such fast players in the slot.
Right.
So when you're looking at it from that standpoint, it only makes sense to have a fast corner in the slot and to have your bigger corners on the outside. So I expect Josh Jackson to play outside, and I expect Jair Alexander to play inside.
So you guys are both happy with these first two picks.
I'm pretty happy about it. I mean, honestly, it would have been cool to get Minkah Fitzpatrick, but obviously he wasn't there.
Right.
So they took the next two guys on deck. And I'm totally all right with the Green Bay Packers double dipping at the corner position.
Because it was such a need.
Because it was such a need.
Yeah. Next up, guys, and we're going to hit this one too, because I find this next pick in the third round interesting. Oren Burks, linebacker out of Vanderbilt. And the reason why this interests me so much is The Green Bay Packers have decent linebackers. They've got Jake Ryan. They've got Blake Martinez. Big D, talk to us about Oren Burks a little bit and why they might have selected him.
You know, one of the things that we got to talk about first with Vanderbilt, you know, Vanderbilt's one of those SEC teams that people kind of sleep on because they don't typically win a lot of games.
Right, sure.
But quietly over the last couple of seasons, Vanderbilt has built a little bit more of a successful team. They started winning a little bit more. They've been a little bit more competitive, and part of that has been because of their defensive program being so much better.
Well, and let's be honest, you know, real quick, Big D, them playing in the SEC, they're playing championship-caliber
yeah.
teams all the time.
All the time. But Burks, he had a great test at the combine.
Okay.
His top-end speed broad jump, 10 feet, 11 inches, three-cone time of 6.82. Pretty impressive
yeah.
for a guy his size. He's 6'3", 233 pounds.
He's
doing
cool.
that cone time. That's pretty great. You know, likely he's going to start out on special teams, But you look at Oren Burks. He's tall. He's physical. He's got length. He's got the ability to jump over lines. Think about some of the quarterbacks that you're going to be playing.
Right.
Think about some of the offensive lines you have to play against. Some of the highest paid offensive lines in the NFL
right.
are in the NFC North.
Right. Austin, your thoughts on Oren Burks?
Uh-oh. Did we lose Austin?
Did we lose him?
I don't think we did. Yeah, we did.
The call dropped. That's okay. We'll keep moving. So we got Oren. We'll move on from Oren Burks here, Big D. The next one, Jamon Moore, wide receiver out of Missouri. The reason why this intrigues me is because of the fact that obviously Jordy Nelson isn't there. I know that saddens you. Jordy Nelson was a fixture there for over a decade in Green Bay. But now you have Randall Cobb and you have Devontae Adams. Behind them, the depth is, you know, like you said, it's a little more open. This guy, Jamon Moore, he's a tall receiver. He's about 6'3", right?
Mm-hmm.
Getting this guy and having him for depth and getting that big-time receiver for down on the sidelines that we talked about earlier, it's a big deal. Talk to us about it.
Well, you know, the one problem I have with Jamon Moore is that he's got some off-field concerns. He was suspended in 2014 for much of the season. This brings his grade down, and he's not the fastest guy, but he's 6'3", 207 pounds. You don't expect him to be that
right,
fast.
He's
going to play outside. Honestly, the thing that I like about Moore is that his length and athleticism. As a tall receiver, the one thing that you look for at the receiver position is how competitive can they be when jumping for jump balls? Because you're going to have to throw the ball above these guys. You have to remember you're throwing up against the secondary. You're going to be throwing up against corners who are going to also be jumping for that ball. And he's got the athleticism to make that. He out-jumped a lot of guys at Missouri for those jump balls. So he's a guy that can win that jump ball battle. But important to note, he made some of his biggest catches in the corner of the end zone. So that's something to keep in mind. The fact that you can throw over the top in the corner of the end zone and get somebody like this guy, something to keep an eye on with Jamon Moore.
Sure. And like you said, you guys got him in the fourth round, and that's good bang for your buck here.
It's good value.
Yeah, obviously you got to be happy with that. Now, next pick we're going to talk about. We're going to jump down a little bit, Big D.
Okay.
We're going to run down to J.K., just kidding, Scott, punter out of Alabama.
Punter.
He was picked up in round 5, the 35th pick in the fifth round.
Well, this is a team that they don't always often get some sexy picks, but this is a coffin corner kicker right here. This is a guy that pinned a lot of people real deep down the field. And what you want to do in the NFL is make it as difficult as possible for teams to get down the field on you. Field position is a lot more important now than it ever probably was before.
Right.
Because of how athletic teams are, because of how fast they are. So, you know, you look at this pick, it's not a sexy pick, and, you know, people are going to say, oh, well, you know, why, well, you know, it's just a punter, you know,
right.
Why get excited about it? But punters are extremely important in the NFL.
Sure.
Especially from a defensive standpoint, because the better your punter is, the more opportunities your defense has to get teams off the field and get you back on the field scoring points.
Well, let's be honest here. The opposing offense is starting inside the
– it's a lot easier for your defense to get after people. It
right.
changes the play
point. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot more stressful for the offense than if they're starting at the 40,
yeah.
right? So, yeah, I agree with you. And something you talked about earlier with Jair Alexander, and that was in the return game of special teams.
Yeah.
But the punters help with special teams, too. And you guys, you talked about it. The Packers struggled in special teams. Getting this rookie, we saw how important the kicking position was and kickers and punters was last year. It's a good pick. They got him in round 5. It was a comp pick, too.
Yeah.
Awesome, Austin. Your thoughts on the Packers getting punter J.K. Scott out of Alabama?
I hope we didn't lose him again.
Awesome, Austin.
He should still be there.
Keep rolling. Let's keep rolling. It's no big deal. is there a player you wanted to talk about towards the end of this draft class?
You know, one of the guys that I want to talk about in this draft was a guy that kind of slid a little bit and that the Packers picked up is Marquez Valdes-Scantling, another wide receiver. This is a guy that played for one of those small universities, South Florida. Valdes-Scantling – is pretty quick. He's a deep ball receiver. Mm-hmm. He's the kind of guy that gets down the field and scores, makes those big catches. But this, look at the size of this guy. 6'4", 206 pounds.
That's a big guy.
That's a big guy. The fact that he's able to get down the field so fast and outwork people for the ball, this guy could potentially be a blue chip player. And they got him, I mean, in round 5 at pick 37.
Right.
And you potentially get that sneaky wide receiver pick. I think this is a guy we're going to want to keep our eye on, is potentially that potential number 3 guy that the Packers have been looking
well,
for.
Well, I think you can even make an argument for the next guy, too. Go ahead and click on him and talk to us about him, Big D.
It's going to be a very competitive camp, because now you have in the 6th round, the Packers, on a compensatory pick, got Equanimeous St. Brown, 6'5", 214 pounds on a Notre Dame. He's another fast, tall receiver. And again, this guy is being called a rare prospect.
Right.
This somebody that, you know, guys like Mel Kiper are saying, you don't see players like this all the time. This is a guy that just comes along every so often.
Sure.
You know, this is that he's got the size. A lot of people are starting to say there's rumblings that maybe, just maybe, he's Megatron 2.0.
Oh, well,
I'm not willing to jump on that just yet, because I haven't seen enough of Equanimeous to say that.
Right.
But
The size is definitely there.
But the size is there, and if he does bring that speed to the NFL, this could be very, very dangerous for opposing defenses when you've got receivers that are 6'5", 6'4", and running 4.4s. That's like gazelles running down the field. That's pretty tough.
Now, I mean, it sounds like you're pretty excited for this draft class as a whole, really. But, I mean, I know for us, we always like to try to find the value in these later picks and who could you know, bring more bang for the buck for the team. And I got to say, St. Brown has got to be one of those picks for me because of his size and speed that you were talking about. And, obviously, when you watch this film at Notre Dame, he shows it. And yeah, if he can bring that size and speed to this physical NFC North, that's all the better for the Green Bay Packers.
And I honestly look at this draft class as a whole. The Green Bay Packers, right out of the gate, they knew what their biggest weakness was, and it was their secondary, and they addressed it right out of the gate.
Right.
And then they said, okay, these are the things that we've lost. We need – this is something else. You know, I love the fact that they got J.K. Scott. Thought that was a great pick, because
sure,
not only is he a punter, he's played place kicker too.
Right.
So that's double right there for your money. Jamon Moore, I think they took a chance there. We'll see what happens with that. But getting two more receivers that could potentially down the line start for you with the size and athleticism that they got in the rounds that they got them on. I mean, they basically got both of them on compensatory picks. That's a win, I think, for the Packers. I think ultimately they addressed their needs, and then they decided, you know, let's go on a little bit of a shopping spree and let's get a few things. They were in the grocery store, and they were like, okay, we got what we needed. Now throw some Oreos in there, get some snacks, get some powdered sugar donuts, and let's go home. You know, this is kind of like a kid at the register. We're gonna throw some Hershey Kisses in there and some Pepsi and all kinds of good stuff, whatever.
Awesome, Austin. We've been talking about the later picks that the Green Bay Packers have, you know, selected later on, and then these two wide receivers here. Any more thoughts on St. Brown
or Scantling?
I like St. Brown. I really do. He was one of the receivers on my board that I really liked. I think the 5th round was a little late for him, honestly. I liked him. Big D said, he's fast, he's big. And if you can catch the ball, Aaron Rodgers is going to love you, because he can put it in the tightest of windows. So if you catch it, you're going to be good. You know, and I especially like this pick because Randall Cobb, he's been on decline. He's been struggling with injuries. Devontae Adams, you know, he's one concussion away from retirement. You know, so I just think the Packers need receivers. They need to reload on the receivers. They let Jordy Nelson go. You know, so I like this pick a lot. I think that rebuilding the receiver core is just going to help them tremendously.
Well, not to mention, something else I want to bring up, too, and he's not a wide receiver, but he's the red zone threat right now. And that's Jimmy Graham at the tight end position, right? Well, let me tell you guys something. When you got a 6'5 receiver, that's a red zone threat.
That's your new red zone threat right there, yeah. Jimmy Graham can just take that possession off.
Right. I mean, take a little weight off his shoulders. I really believe St. Brown is gonna be. I look for him to be a starter. I really do.
You look at this draft class and it's pretty solid,
solid
as far as the Green Bay Packers go. But I think there's a good chance that we'll be looking back at this draft class and you look at what St. Brown brings to the table. I think if he's given the opportunity, I mean, who better to be throwing to this guy than Aaron Rodgers?
Sure.
Right out of it, coming into the NFL, you got that veteran journeyman quarterback throwing to you, the guy that's been known to just make people good. I mean, the equivalent is just getting drafted and having Peyton Manning or Tom Brady throwing to you. They make everybody around them look good.
Right.
So, you know, that to me, I think we'll look back on this draft class, and if he shakes out the way I think he does, he's going to look like a steal in this.
Let me bring this up real quick too. I can't say this for sure. I'll have to go back and look, but I think the Green Bay Packers have the most draft picks in this draft at 11. That's a lot. Like I said, I'm not 100% on that. It's going to be close, but let me be honest here. You take a photographer for instance. When they're doing a motion subject, when they're taking a picture of a subject in motion, whether it's a football player or a NASCAR driver, whatever it is, you know, something that's moving fast. They're not taking just one shot, right? No, it's a burst of shot, and they're trying to get that one good shot. This could be the photographer of draft classes, if you will, because of, hey, we got all these picks. You throw enough mud on the wall, something's going to stick, right? I mean, here we go.
I mean, and not just that. I think there was a lot of criticism of the front office for the Green Bay Packers these last couple of seasons of not being aggressive enough.
Right.
Of not, you know, really throwing enough out there trying to put together a team. You look at the last couple of seasons for the Green Bay Packers, they've steadily declined.
Right.
They've lacked depth. They've been inefficient. They haven't managed their picks well. I think this season, I think that the front office decided, okay, we're going to try it a different way. We're going to go out all out in this draft. We're going to get what we need, and you know, we'll see what else is there, and we'll draft away. We're just going to see how much we can get.
We're going to throw mud on the wall and see what sticks.
And to be honest, you look at the Green Bay Packers roster as a whole, they've started to age. They've started to get a little bit older. And a lot of, you know, you look at guys like Randall Cobb and Tremaine Williams, and Aaron Rodgers ain't getting any younger either.
True.
So this is a regular youth movement here for the Green Bay Packers as well.
Right.
So
we will now, Big D, we're going to shift on. I noticed Austin lost the call again. We're now going to shift to our debate. And that debate is, is T.O., Terrell Owens, 2018 Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee, is he going to make a comeback? And he was asked this, and it was on catching passes from Aaron Rodgers. So we just got done talking about your Green Bay Packers. We're going to keep kind of rolling with it. And Terrell Owens is quoted saying, it still can happen. Big D, your thoughts.
I don't think Terrell Owens is going to come back to the NFL. And the reason that I say that is not because I don't think Terrell Owens could play in the NFL at 44 years old, although that would be rather difficult.
Right.
I just don't think a team's going to take a chance on Terrell Owens. That's an investment. Even if it's a one-year contract, you're not signing somebody to a one-year contract for any length of money that's going to be enough for T.O. to stop broadcasting and come out of work. I mean, you're not sacrificing your time and your career as a broadcaster to come into the NFL and play for a season or two and just make a little bit of money. I find it hard to believe that there's any NFL team that's going to just throw money at that when there are so many available free agents right now that they could potentially play and keep for long term at those positions. So, I mean, I just don't see it happening. I think T.O.'s just being T.O. And when I say that, I mean T.O.'s been known to make a lot of flamboyant. T.O.'s been known over his career to make a lot of flamboyant statements. Let's
mm-hmm.
face it, he's made a lot of controversial statements throughout his career.
Right.
And you know, I mean, he's he's Mr. Showtime. I mean, when he's in the NFL, I mean, he was an entertainer.
He's T.O.
He's T.O. So I'm not saying that to down Terrell Owens or say anything bad about Terrell Owens, because I think that's just part of his personality, and that's why a lot of people like Terrell Owens, because
right.
he was such a character when he's in the NFL,
right.
and I think that just adds to the game and makes it fun.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with a little bit of trash talk and a little bit of swagger. I think that's part of the game. I think that's all something we all need to let you know, people that have become overly sensitive to, just need to let that go, because
right.
it's a man's game, and the men are going to play it the way they want to. But that being said, I just don't think, as far as a career move for Terrell Owens, that it's smart on his part.
Okay.
Or smart from an investment standpoint for an NFL team. Because even if it's for 1 year, you know, let's say you sign him 1 year, $1 million. I mean, to us, you know, for a big franchise, that's probably not a lot of money.
Right.
But it does add up. And you've got to keep in mind salary cap considerations. And are you really willing to take a chance on a guy who's 44 years old, who could suffer, who's got a history of injury, who could suffer an injury at any time.
Right.
And then you've got to invest all this time in keeping him healthy and, you know, taking care of the injuries and, you know, what would then people, you know, then you become under scrutiny from your fan base and the media, and it becomes a media circus. I just don't think that there's a team out there right now that's willing to take on that level of distraction.
I personally think it could still happen. I think what I'm thinking is a little different, as far as, you know, if he comes back to the NFL, if, I mean, it's obviously a big if.
Yeah, it's a big if.
It's a big if. But if he comes back to the NFL, it is not as a number one wide receiver.
No,
not even close. It is a rotational player, and it's a mismatching play, play, and he could catch a couple passes. He really could. And the fact that he's running a 4.40, right, a 40-yard dash, I mean, that's impressive. He's 44 years old, and he's running a good time, so he's staying in great shape. He hasn't played in how many years now? I think that's a concern. But I think if a team says, look, we'll give you league minimum, and he decides, okay, I want to play football again, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to be the T.O. of old. I'm just saying, I guess I could see the – enamel there.
I mean, I honestly, you know, I'm not going to ever say that it's impossible.
Right.
Because,
never
say never, because, look, Brett Favre retired and came back, and we've had players do that a number of times
right.
in multiple sports. So never say never. I just don't think from a business standpoint it makes a whole lot of sense
sure.
for a lot of these franchises, because you've only got so many roster spots. You've only got so much money you can throw at things. And, I mean, the real question becomes, okay, if we decide we're going to get T.O. and we're going to sign him the league minimum, I mean, what position are we going to have to sacrifice at to keep him here? And,
right.
I mean, is he really going to benefit us down in the long run? Your ultimate goal as a franchise is to win Super Bowls.
Sure.
You're not doing anything that's not going to allow you to make Super Bowls happen unless you're the Browns.
I think one of the arguments to be made here, too, is that, you know, even a 44-year-old T.O., is still probably better than most free agent receivers out there.
There's definitely something to consider.
I mean, he's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame for a reason. He's second on the receiving, you know, multiple receiving lists and receptions and receiving yards. He's got so many records, you know. So, I mean, there's definitely something to be had there, but I see what you're saying, too. And if he does come back, if I'm T.O. and I'm coming back, it's got to be with somebody like the Green Bay Packers or the New England Patriots, somebody with a prolific quarterback. It's not going to be.
I feel like if you're going to come back in your Terrell Owens, you got to come back to a place where, you know, you're probably going to be able to win a championship.
Yeah, I mean that's one thing he hasn't tackled yet.
You know, maybe in New England, maybe Philadelphia. You know,
Green Bay. I mean, Pittsburgh could be one.
No, Pittsburgh could be one. I mean, he's got those Philly connections.
That's true.
He's got the Philly connections. I mean, he does. You know, I mean, even the Dallas Cowboys is kind of a sleepy.
They're a good team.
I mean,
they're a good team.
Possible destination for Terrell Owens if he wanted to come back. It's not like Jerry Jones hasn't signed people before that
right.
he probably shouldn't sign. But
you know, something else to consider with the whole T.O. thing too is, the fact that he has never announced retirement.
It's true.
And, you know, and the fact that – and Austin and I were talking about this. This is when you were doing your musical.
Mm.
But when Austin and I were talking about T.O. not doing the Hall of Fame ceremony and, you know, that being the most T.O. thing he could ever do, blah, blah, blah. I think this could – if he makes a comeback in the NFL, this is as T.O. as it gets right
here.
Yeah,
it is.
Because
– it really would be.
He never announced retirement, and then he – you know, years later, he comes back and –
some dirt in somebody's eyes.
And if he makes a play and then it comes back and makes a, you know, a play, like a good touchdown play or something like that, oh, my God. Like, we're going to be talking about that forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, I mean, you think about it. One thing I would consider – If you're bringing Terrell Owens back, is bring him back in an advisory position for your young receiving corps.
A good veteran leadership.
Yeah. That I could see working on a lot better for Terrell Owens in an advisory or coaching capacity. That would be interesting.
Sure.
That I could see.
If he was on the bottom of the depth chart,
yeah,
he'd still be able to give him some knowledge that he has accumulated over his 15 years.
I mean that to me that would be a very enticing idea.
That'd be worth the investment.
Yeah.
Okay. So you kind of maybe this is a good idea. Yeah. Maybe, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's a good little. I mean, we're in a whole huge debate, but I mean, I think you and I are on the same page here. I really do, Big D. Listen, guys, I told you that this wasn't going to be a very long show. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not going to be a long show because we have reached the end of our show. I will say next week, next Sunday, we're going to be doing it again. We're going to be doing draft grades for the Dallas Cowboys. Big D's one of his favorite teams.
Oh God!
And then the Detroit Lions. We're going to be talking about them. And you know what? If we've got time, we may add a couple more teams in there. I think that would be feasible.
Yeah. Yeah. Doable.
It's doable to even add the Bengals and then the Titans if we've got time. So, anyways, guys, for sure, the Dallas Cowboys and the Detroit Lions will be next week. Obviously going to be the NFL buzz, all that good stuff. So, until then, take care. We will see you next Sunday, 9 a.m. sharp. Big D, good seeing you as always.
Yep.
Take care, guys.
Yep.